Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
What's up? It's your boy, the Ted Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
California families warning others after they were left feeling like they were living out of a horror movie when hundreds of birds poured into their home last week. The avian invasion began last Wednesday, lasted a few days, according to Carrie, the woman who lives in the home with her husband and child. Carrie said the family came home from dinner to find the flock swarming around inside after swooping down in their chimney, practically taking a scene out of Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds. It's hard to explain. If you don't see it with your own eyes, you would never believe it. Video she shared shows the pulsating flock circling above the family's chimney before many begin swooping down inside. Another clip shot later shows them up against a window inside the home, still flapping with determination. We lost count after 800.
Jesus Christ, man.
She said the sheriff's station put her family in contact with county animal control officials who said simply, leave the doors open. But the birds were not going anywhere. They acted like they wanted to get out, but they weren't going anywhere. They were just flying around everywhere, every room in the house, every bathroom. They said that she put a hood and mask on to protect herself from the onslaught. They were just beaming off of my head. Surrounded by hundreds of birds and feeling helpless, Carrie and her husband and the baby stayed in a hotel overnight while the county tried to evict the birds. The birds did calm down and sleep in the house after a few hours.
But they're still in your house.
They made themselves a bit too comfortable. Because the second night, I actually woke up to a bird flapping in my room. So basically, you just got to pull the covers over your head, and I started screaming. Possibly worse, the home became filled with bird droppings. You could not walk in any spot in the living room, the kitchen, the hallway, without stepping in bird droppings. Up the coast, just out of Santa Barbara, the local fire department says it responded to a home where 1,000 birds became trapped in a chimney on Sunday night. They were hoping the flock would flee on its own overnight, but then returned on Monday morning to find them still up against the fireplace grate. Animal officials worked throughout the day and the evening, eventually created a chute system to successfully funnel said birds through the home's back door. The bird's behavior appears to align with that of a migratory group, the swift. The birds are believed to be passing through Southern California as they migrate north, looking for a new home. They basically said they just kind of take a break before they fly off again. Our question, what did Mother Nature offer up that you did not want to deal with? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Heidi. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey.
Hola. Hola.
Well, I might as well add to the bird stories. Mine's about an owl. So I went to visit my brother in Longview, Washington. I live in Bremerton. And it was Thanksgiving night, ironically, and he didn't know I was coming. It was a surprise. So we're driving in my car, just going to the bar, whatever. And it was probably about dusk. And I was like, what is that? And he's like, I don't know. And it was an owl in the road. And I was like, oh, my God. So we, like, pulled over. And then another car, as we were pulling over, it was like a two-lane, like a 30-mile-an-hour area.
Mm-hmm.
So another car had passed me, and then it swiped the bird. You could see, like, a couple feathers. And I was like, oh, my God. This guy just hit this bird. So we got out of the car, put my hazards on right in the middle of the road. And so I've got a hoodie, and I put it around the owl. Another car is passing, and he's like, "What are you? You can't stop." I'm like, "It's an owl, man." I'm like, "Dude, no." So So then we take it to his house. In the backseat, it's all messed up.
Wait, you took this injured owl to your brother's house, and again, your brother doesn't even know you're coming.
Surprise!
Oh, I should have said after I stopped by his house and surprised him, and then we were just going to go to the bar for a bit.
Okay, all right.
The house was in for a surprise. So we arrive, and then I'm like, well, what are we going to do with it? And it was okay. I mean, he was breathing, and he was kind of not coherent, and his eye was all squinted. And they had a cat carrier because they just got a kitten. So it was like one of those carriers that they had blankets in it for it to sleep in or whatever. So I was like, all right, let's get the cat out of there. We're just going to stick the owl in there with the blankets. We're going to go hang out for a couple hours, come back and see how he's doing. This thing, man, it was so cool. It was so huge. And its talons were straight digging into our forearms, like bleeding everywhere. But
so you could put the owl on your arm?
Oh, yeah. Like, he was like pretty dazed. I was just like holding him. I got a few pictures. I like spread his wings out to see if he was hurt. And
did you do duck lips in any of the pictures?
Did I what?
Do the duck. I mean, if you're going to do a selfie, even with the owl, I feel it's important to still do the duck lips to let people know it is, in fact, a selfie.
Oh, to hell with the duck lips. This is an owl.
Yeah. Did the owl lips. I got you.
What did you do? Did you
call what?
Somebody or, you know, like, what do you, I don't know there's an owl hotline, but I mean, who do you call?
Yeah, exactly. So I just put him in there to hang out for a couple hours, and then we came back, and his girlfriend was like, hey, you might want to be careful, Heidi. That kitten's looking at the owl. And I'm like, Marie, you might want to take the kitten out of the room because that owl will eat that kitten.
Yeah, so that kitten doesn't know what he's looking at right now.
Yeah.
I took him out, and when I took him out, he was a little better, and his eye wasn't as squinting. You could feel him trying to lift up and kind of trying to get out of there and take off. So I was like, screw it. Let's just let him outside, see if he goes. And so he's just hanging on my arm, and I'm like holding him like they do on the TV show with his wings down with a blanket around his head so he doesn't freak out. And sure as hell, he just like, I like let my arms out and he just flew away.
That's cool. But I'm glad you were able to save him like that. I mean, I'm sure they would not recommend that type of...
Well, they don't tell you to approach wild animals, right, exactly. But come on. Yeah. I mean...
Well, I was watching a video the other day of a woman and a hawk ended up getting in her pool, right? So, the hawk couldn't get out of the pool.
He was like belly down and well, spread eagle.
Spread eagle and all that stuff. So she picks the owl up and puts it on her arm.
Hawk,
right. That's what it was. Hawk, sorry. Then the hawk wouldn't leave.
I mean, she's like shaking her arm.
Hey, dude. And he's just like looking at her like, nah, I'm just going to hang out
here. I'm cool.
Hey, scared of that pool.
Video goes on for like 2 minutes and she's like, I can't get rid of
this. She's like, I don't know what to do.
Bird is just kind of hanging out. He won't leave. And I don't know what happened at the end of the video.
I was going to say, what happened? We don't know.
We don't know. No. Like, she stopped shooting the video, which tells me something bad happened to that hawk. Yeah. Like, all right, turn off the video.
Legend has it to this day, he's still on her arm.
Right. And when you look at his talons, like, she's trying to gently nudge it away. Like, there's no violent act, because, again, its talons are wrapped around its forearm. And it's being really cool, but you could tell, at first, she's like, ah. And by the end of the video, it's like, ah,
he's not
I really need this thing to go away. Like,
she's
it's getting
to shake
weird.
It off a little bit. He's like, nope, I'm staying.
She twisted her arm, right? So she twists her arm around, and it does, like, the log roll.
Oh, yeah, stays on there.
It's just looking at her, but it moves its feet around her arm like the log roll, then grips back on again and still staring at her.
Put it on a like a stump, right? You know what I mean? And then he just hops right back on. Like, nope, I'm staying here. It was the damnedest thing. I was like, I didn't know. That would freak me the hell out.
Yes.
Because at some point it gets old. Like, look, I mean, this has been cool. You got to go. Bro, you got to go.
Have you ever seen an owl in the wild?
Yes.
I've seen a couple of them. I saw one drop out. This was so weird. I saw one drop out of off of a tree branch because it was hunting either chipmunks or whatever it saw on the ground.
Maybe
a mole. Who knows? Because I didn't see what it was going for. But all I saw was it drop out of the tree. And I mean, it drops like a bomb because they're so heavy. It looked like one of those planes that you see land or flying up around, like one of those test planes where you're like a cargo size 747.
Right.
How does this thing fly? You know what I mean? Some of the military planes you see are so big, like, how does this thing get off the ground? It's kind of what the owl looked like. But when the owl went down, it literally flew 2 inches above the ground.
Yeah, cruising.
Completely spread out, cruising, picked up whatever it picked up, and then took off like a touchdown. It was crazy.
Then it turned around and said, are you impressed, Montgomery?
Then the same thing that she said. Then I was driving in Evans picking up my kid one day, and there was a snow owl sitting on somebody's house. And I mean, the traffic's backed up in both directions on the street. Like in Main Street, Evans, it's a pretty busy road, right? And this owl just sitting up, and it was so majestic. It was, you couldn't even believe it. Like, you can't hide. You know what I mean? You're as white as a sheet of paper.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know how in the hell, like, you know.
He's like, I don't need to.
Exactly.
I think it's weird those, you know, and they are majestic looking.
Mm-hmm. But they're annoying as hell.
And they really eat small animals and rodents and then just regurgitate their bones.
Yeah, like, I didn't want that part. Well, sorry, man.
Yeah, like, oh, there's a little skull.
Well, obviously they're an alpha predator, because if you look at some people's homes where there would be like a cupola on top or something,
yeah, they'll have
an owl statue.
My father bought one of those.
Just to keep the birds and all that.
Oddly, when we lived in Baltimore, in the middle of the goddamn city, we got one of those inflatable owls, and it, whatever it was, you went, maybe crows, I don't remember what his deal was, but it worked. I mean, like, whatever it is, other birds want no piece of an owl. But speaking of owls, she had that wonderful story. You know, she sees that it's injured, brings it back to health, spent hours, and finally flies off. Someone here says, I once hit an owl with a box truck. It was dark. We were going, for legal purposes, 60. It flew up, but it missed the windshield, but hit the vertical wall of the box. That's right above the cab. It was extremely loud. We just kept driving. Someone else says, I hit an owl in the Yukon with my motorhome on the way to Alaska. Luckily, it only damaged the grill and the headlight, but not the radiator.
Oh my God.
I later hit a seagull in Valdez, Alaska, with the same motorhome.
Hmm.
Call that the bird magnet.
I mean, motorhomes are great, not very aerodynamic.
Not at all.
What did Mother Nature offer up to you that you didn't want to deal with? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Ryan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola. Going to give a shout out to my local 86 brothers out there, iron workers, and my beautiful wife, Lindsay.
Oh, yeah.
And here we go. Here's the story. So I'm out. We used to, when I was a kid, you know, I was 11 or 12 years old. We used to rent a houseboat on Lake Roosevelt in eastern Washington. Great vacation. Me and my grandpa went fishing for the day, caught some nice trout. We were super excited to get back to the beach to our houseboat. You know, we start walking down the beach. He says, hey, I'm going to teach you how to clean a fish. Go have some fun down here. So we start walking down the beach. And I didn't know there was underground beehives.
Yeah.
And so we're walking. And I see him step, and out of nowhere, you guys remember when you were growing up as kids, those cartoons where you see a line come out of the ground of the little bees, you know?
Yeah.
That's all I seen was a line of bees, and next thing I know, I'm starting to get stung, I'm freaking out, and, you know, my grandpa being an old veteran probably knows that too. He runs to the water, and I run away from the water, back to the houseboat, and by the time I get back to the houseboat, I'm hopping on 1 foot. With one sandal, ripping my shirt off, probably, you know, stung 30, 40 times at this point. And thank God my grandma, took me and she put me in the little shower in the houseboat and started shaking baking powder or soda on me. I don't know what the heck she was doing. But, saved me, and thank God I was not allergic to bees.
That's the thing about bees.
I wouldn't be here today.
How was your grandfather?
He was good. He only got stung probably about 10, because like I said, he went to the water and I didn't. I ran away from the water, and lesson learned, you run to water and there are underground beehives.
All right, well, yeah. How long, so I know, like, right, if I'm in the water, that's fine. The problem is, how long are bees willing to wait to see if I'm going to resurface?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, you could jump in a pool.
I never asked him that question.
But if they're mad for 4 hours, like, crap, and you know, pop up, grab a breath, go back down.
I mean, how much ground does a bee cover, though? It seems like it'd be easy to swim down shore from them.
See, man, I don't know, because to your point, Ryan, I did not know there were underground hives either until I ran over one with the lawnmower and made this remarkable discovery. And
yeah.
I'm about 15, 16 years old, so I'm pretty goddamn fast, and they kept pace with me pretty goddamn well. I mean, they lit my ass up.
Yeah,
I mean, as soon as I realized, I rolled over top of the hive with the lawnmower, felt something kind of hit the back of my leg, turned around, and there's a swarm exploding out of the ground. So instantly, I take off to run back in the house. And I mean, like I said, I wasted no time. There was no hesitation. It was a dead sprint. By the time I got to my house, probably like 18 stings.
Oof.
And when I got there, like, you hear them hitting the window. And I remember my mother comes, she hears me. I'm like stomping my feet now, like you said, you're ripping off your shirt and all this kind of thing. And my mother had been upstairs. My father's not home at the time. So my mother comes downstairs. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, it's like bees all over me, man. So, and back then I had hair. So there's stuff in my hair, all this crap.
Bees in the hair too, huh?
Bees in the hair, just like bats. So we take care of that. But the lawnmower, which even worse, is black and yellow. So they're attracted to that. And it's making a lot of noise. And it's about 3 feet away from their hive. So while they're trying to defend their hive, as far as they perceive it, the monster, that is the lawnmower, is just growling at them for hours. So now my father gets home from wherever he was from. He's like, Stephen, why is the lawnmower running? I said, you see that cloud running? I said, those are stinging insects. He said, are you going to just let that thing run out of gas? I said, I sure am. Like, I'm not gonna look, if it's that important to you, you go out there and turn it off. So that thing went until about 6 o'clock that night and it started just fight and stay on, and we're like, we're not, and until that thing finally stopped, well, it ran out of gas, until that thing shut down, those bees were all around it. So I was like, I'm not going back out there.
When I used to work for this guy who was my neighbor, and he was a pest control operation, right? But he would hire me and pay me really well. I'd basically just go out and drill for termites and stuff. This one call, and keep in mind, he had a son named Mike. It was a father-son business.
Okay.
All right. But when I would go out, you still had to wear the company shirt.
Sure.
And you still had to wear...
So were you Mike that day?
I was Mike. Okay. I mean, because the patch said Mike. I was Mike every time I went out. You know what I mean? Because I was wearing Mike's shirt. So anyway, they had an infestation up in their attic. They were pretty sure they had bees up there, whatever. So Jim gives me the canister. It's basically, it looks like pesticide spray. Like, you know, you get a little knob on it. It's got a little wand on it. You go up there, you knock it, depending on the pressure of it, whatever. So I go up, and it's in the top floor of a two-story home. And in the hallway, they have a pull-down ladder, which is on a string, and you pull it down. And then the ladder just kind of falls down. That way you have access to the attic. Well, there's no light in the attic. All right, that's number one. Number two is... I go up there, and I'm not, I can hear the buzzing, but I can't see anything exactly. So I need to get a flashlight. Crawl back down, get a flashlight. And I got a flashlight in a hand. So basically, I got the gun in one hand, I got the flashlight in the other, and I'm looking, and I look up, and between the 2x4s, the honeycomb wall of bees was literally 4 to 5 feet long. I mean, it was an entire comb. The bees are buzzing around. I put the light on it. Bees are flying all around my head, and I fall back down that ladder. Now, keep in mind, I was about waist up in there.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I fell 8 feet, but not really a big deal. I fell on my butt, my back. It wasn't that bad, but initially the shock of it was kind of bad. I was just like, oh, you know, like, and it was a huge thud. Owner comes running up the steps, looks at me and says, Mike, are you okay? I was like, yes, I'm okay. We got that thing closed up. Jim was the one who eventually went up there and sprayed the damn thing. Like, he went up there with, basically, he threw the equivalent of a bomb up there and then
closed it
and closed the hatch. You know what I mean? And then they had to leave for the night. They had to spend the night somewhere else because it was a pretty toxic thing. And then they went back the next day, and all the bees had been killed. But still, it was just like, I just remember that woman looking at me and going, Mike, are you okay? And I'm like, oh, yeah. Just got to have the shirt on.
Stay with us, Mike.
I'm okay. Right? Mike, are you all right? I didn't get stung or anything. It was just fall from the ladder.
Oh, hey, something new. If the hive is in the ground, it's not bees. It's hornets. You know, you're right. I was stung by yellow jackets. So that's what it was. Yes.
What did Mother Nature offer up that you did not want to deal with? 206-421-ROCK.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to
other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
99.9 KISW. The men's room is in progress.
Return to Who Sucks Less. Coming up after emails on our question, what did Mother Nature offer up that you did not want to deal with? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Dave. Welcome to the men's room.
Dave!
Dave!
Hola.
Hola!
How's the party going?
Quite well. Enjoying a beer.
Nice! So, Dave, what did Mother Nature offer up to you that you did not want to deal with?
Years ago, I've even sent you a photo of it before, but my friend took me up to Yosemite so we could hike up to the top of Half Dome. And we took his dad with us, because his dad has hiked all over Half Dome, but he has never been to the top of Half Dome.
All right.
He hiked all over Yosemite. So we get to the initial campground where we're just staying overnight, the walk-in campground. We set up camp, and Jim and I head off to the Merced River at the bridge there. You can jump off into the river. And we had an earthquake.
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, that sucks.
So we go back to the campground, and his dad's okay. Our campground is okay, but there are like three tents that are demolished by falling trees. And we're going, holy crap, And then later that night, we're camping and we're getting ready our sleeping bags and we're sleeping, and Jim and I both sleep out in the open, get woken up by Jim at 12 o'clock at night and goes, hey, Doc, look, here's Mr. Bear. And three black bears are walking along the ridge there right next to our campsite. And I'm like, holy crap, And then we finally, the next day, we hike up to Yosemite and do our thing. And we get up to the top of Half Dome and everything's cool. But the thing about Half Dome is, you have to understand, if there's anything about a lightning storm about to happen, you have to get off that mountain because it is a lightning rod.
Yeah. Well, sure, man.
So you got a lot of things coming at you that weekend.
I mean, look, I get the earthquake being memorable. I remember seeing bears, but if I camp in California, I'm not going to be stunned that there's bears.
Or earthquakes,
but I mean, more prepared. I guess I'd be better prepared for an earthquake.
Because
a bear, all I know I'm willing to do is panic. An earthquake, I feel like I can at least get my head. Because an earthquake is not personal. An earthquake is not personally trying to kill me. It's a situation. Mm-hmm. Right? The bears are kind of like, oh, no.
What did Mother Nature offer up to you that you did not want to deal with? 206-421-ROCK.
Do you have this on speakerphone in a bar?
I think so.
It sounded like that. It's proper phone etiquette, Dad. Mm-hmm. If you're in a public place, put it on speaker so that everyone who's not involved in the conversation kind of has to listen.
But we can't hear them, so right. I don't know.
And it makes it harder for the people on the other side to hear you. Mm-hmm. It's exactly what you want to do. Hello, Paula. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Well, the curator of reptiles at the local zoo was teaching a biology course at the U and was taking some students to a rattlesnake den and asked me if I'd like to come along and help out. And so I thought it sounded like a great idea because, I was volunteering at the reptile department.
Sure, they said rattlesnake den. Mm-hmm. Instantly, light bulb like this is the best idea I have ever heard.
I saw that in Raiders.
Yeah, well, you know, I kind of thought I would see a few rattlesnakes. I had no idea. So we climbed up into this place. There was a rocky overhang. It was in eastern Washington, kind of deserty. And there were hundreds of snakes. There were areas where you almost couldn't put your foot down without stepping on snakes. Fortunately, it was early in the season. You know, he wouldn't have taken us up there a month later. But it was early in the season, and they were still coming out of their winter coma. So they weren't moving around a lot. And they're a small snake, the ones we have here in Washington. They're not particularly dangerous because they don't have a huge strike range and they don't give you a lot of poison. Nonetheless, like, I had no idea. They were everywhere. We were trying to find a place to put our feet as we tippy-toed between them. And I'm sure I felt bad for the poor students because if I was shocked, you know, I'm sure they expected to see a few snakes at a distance and not be playing hopscotch.
But again, I understand, but also the sales pitch, the field trip was, we're going to a rattlesnake den. So if someone invited me to a Klan rally, I would not be like, I cannot believe how many racists are here. I mean, it's like you specifically went to, how long were you guys tiptoeing through this mountain of rattlesnakes?
Well, we went on, we stood around in the epicenter, I guess, for probably about 10 minutes. And he was lecturing a little bit. And my job, it was like Mutual of Omaha with Marlon Perkins.
So you play the Jim character.
I was Jim.
Paula, go grab that rattlesnake and show him.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and what he was trying to show them is, yes, we have rattlesnakes. They can't fly through the air and glom onto you, you know, and these are the sort of places you can look for them. So although it was not my worst nightmare, I think it's just about everybody else's. And I will say that this was on private land behind a locked gate.
Okay. Now, Paula, you interact with all kinds of animals, right?
Yeah.
What is, of all the animals you've dealt with, that you personally have dealt with, what is the animal you want to deal with again the least?
Well, although I like this species a lot, they can be trying. The human.
Hey,
wow.
That is the great answer, because I always have that thing. Now, behind this wall at this zoo is the most dangerous animal in the world, and you look into a mirror.
Right.
So, yeah, but I will say this, Paula, as far as rattlesnakes go, where I grew up, they're smaller than the one I saw last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So she says they're smaller rattlesnakes. Well, I mean, it was at least 4.5 feet. So typically the rattlesnakes in West Virginia were thicker than this one. But, I mean, as far as its length goes, that was the biggest rattlesnake I've seen.
But I bet, like, a lot of times if you look at the head size, you know, a snake, I don't know what yours look like over there, but I wouldn't be messing with them over there.
No, they're not. Yeah, they're not diamond heads.
I just don't mess with. We had them all over. Yeah. Denver, like, and again, the elementary school I went to in Colorado, because there was a new housing development, but before all the kids would walk to school, and before we could all attack the playground, which is what every elementary school kid wanted to do, there's two dudes out there in their tank tops, and they're just raking their poles through the sandbox, and we watch them on average pull 2 or 3 rattlesnakes out of the sandbox, put them in a bag, and they always said the same thing. Think that's all of them. But once we got the all clear, they blow a whistle. And we all just ran over there. Just for some reason, it's so prevalent, it didn't bother anyone, if you know what I mean. Because kids got bitten by rattlesnakes all the time. You're like, let's take them to the hospital. They're fine.
What did Mother Nature offer up to that you did not want to deal with? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Tim. Welcome to the men's room.
Yeah, hi.
Hola.
Hola. Hey, well, so... And then we're a long time ago, we were in Yellowstone. It was all summer and all hot and everything. There's tons of tourists everywhere. So we were going down there, had all the windows down and everything, and just to our left of us across the road, there was this big, huge bull elk. And there's all these tourists around, and they're just all looking at it and everything else. Well, unbeknownst to us, my son just walks out the back door of the car, and he walks across the road, and all these tourists are just all concentrated on looking at this elk, you know, and they're like about 3 feet away. And my son, he just screams out, "You effing tourist, get away from that elk!"
Oh, damn.
all the tourists jump up, but the problem is that the elk, it freaked the elk out. And so the elk, I swear, he jumps like a foot in the air, and he just starts running. All these tourists are just scattering like cockroaches. They're running everywhere and just all freaked out. Oh, my God.
How old was your kid when he did this? How old was your kid when he did this?
Oh, he was 11. Yeah.
Okay. 11. They're huge.
Yeah, he's always been pretty high-spirited himself, you know?
I got that.
You don't realize how big those things are.
Yeah,
but even they're huge.
They're massive.
Why do people and it only seems to be specifically at Yellowstone? I know it happens everywhere, but like, you know, someone brought up a safari earlier. So you're on safari, and whether it could be a giraffe, even something that generally we don't feel as aggressive, they are, but in our mind they're not, right? But people still are like, ooh, let's jump out of the jeep. They don't run up to lions. They don't run up to baboons. They do not run up to giraffes.
But bison.
And I get it, because, like, you shouldn't. It's a bad idea. But somehow, when people go to Yellowstone, you're like, well, it's not a lion or an elephant. It's like, it's a bull elk or it's a bison. And people just get out. Mm-hmm. Or a bear.
You're not at the zoo.
Like, a bear is our lion, right? Africa has lions. We got bears. They're kind of a top dog here. Like, why are you approaching the bear? Because you would not do this on safari. What is the difference in your mind between Yellowstone?
They've been picking off people at Yellowstone.
Oh, because bears
are not messing. They're not messing around. I still remember the story about the guy who was hiking in the Olympics, probably about 5 or 6 years ago. He knew the area. He was an older gentleman, and there was this one mountain goat that was up on this trail.
Was that the mean mountain goat?
Yeah,
that goat attacked a few people,
and it killed it.
Yeah.
I do remember that.
There was warnings up on the post when you walk in. There's always
like
a bulletin board.
One. Like, don't worry about all of them. Just this, like, one.
If you hike in Canada, they always put up signs in the parking lot when the last bear sightings were. You can get a bear sheet every morning to know where to go. You can see the scratch marks and all
that stuff.
I don't
need to go to a place that has a daily bear sheet. Yeah, that tells me everything I need to know.
But I never would think that a mountain goat would be what would take you out. Like, if it said a mountain goat was sighted up there, I'd be like, oh, hell, let's go. You know
right,
what I mean?
If we didn't know anything more, like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't seem like a threat to me.
The problem is size. So people are used to deer, right?
Sure,
you see deer everywhere. So elk, right, I think are part of the deer family.
But they're much.
I know that.
Peter Dinklage to the rock.
Right, but you're talking about people that aren't thinking. I'm not going to call them dumb. So they just see it. It looks like a giant deer. Like, oh, we can go get near it. It's like, that thing's going to attack you.
Okay.
Same with, like, moose or whatever. Like,
see, I think the problem is that it seems like North American animals, for the most part, they either move slow, as we perceive it, or they're kind of standing still, right? So 9 times out of 10, even if you see a video of bison, they're just kind of standing there looking at each other. It's like cows in a pasture, right? They're not doing much, but they're also not doing much because they're not being provoked. So people, like, walk up and want to touch. Remember, there was a family at Yellowstone, I want to say late last year or whatever, and the girl survived, but it was a family of three, like mom, dad, and girls, maybe 9, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept getting closer, and you can hear other people yelling off camera, like, hey, man, don't get too close to this thing. And one, it was standing on its own, so it's not even with the herd. And it's staring this family down, which generally is a sign, like, hey, you might want to back up. But they keep walking toward it, saying all the dumb stuff, and they reach out to touch it, and this thing charges them. Now, the family takes off, and you'd like to think that that parental instinct says, I will protect my child against any threat. Your dad's like, yeah, I don't think so. Mom and dad took the hell off. The kid obviously runs slower. This thing hit this kid with its head and flopped that girl probably 20 feet. And guess what mom and dad did? They kept running, and then when the bison, when it decided maybe to not stomp her or headbutt her or whatever, just like you, and walked away, then they went and got their kid. And I'm like, so this is bad on every level. One, you're dumb enough to walk up to this thing, but two, when it attacks your family, you're like, oh, no, my daughter's on her own. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it messed her up, man.
What did Mother Nature offer up that you did not want to deal with? 206-421-ROCK.
It's like, didn't one kill somebody on a motorcycle just this past summer?
That sounds vaguely familiar. I feel like there was a lot of interaction this summer for whatever reason, where the animals were really getting up close. But as far as our family running away from the bison and the kid taking it, if I ever take my kids to Yellowstone, I'm going to have them watch that video first and be like, this is how it works.
Yes. This is your
tutorial. You walking up to an animal, I'm going to tell you not to, but if you do, I can't help you. You're on your own. Hello, Charlie. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores.
Liquor and whores.
So I grew up in Alaska, and one of the things that Alaska is known for, among other things, is its wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in elementary school. I'd walked down to the bus stop, and I heard this rustling in the trees, and it was like September, October time frame, so frost was just starting to get on the ground. Look over in the trees, and there is this grizzly bear the size of a 1975 Dodge panel van rustling through some garbage bags that some moron had dumped in the trees. So I did what any self-respecting child at that point in time would do, and I very slowly backed up and walked away and walked back to the house. Went back to the house. My grandfather's sitting at the table drinking his morning cup of coffee. And I'm like, hey, Grandpa, I need to ride to school. He's like, why? Did you miss the bus? I'm like, no, there's a bear at the bus stop. He's like, no, there's not a bear at the bus stop. You're lying. I'm like, I swear on everything I own, there's a bear at the bus stop. He's like, okay, get in the truck. But if you're lying to me, I'm going to tan your backside with my belt. I'm like, okay. Got in the truck. Drove down to the bus stop. He's like, all right, show me where this bear is at. Pointed out the passenger window, and he leans around, looks, and he goes, huh. Well, all right, well, let's go to school. And we drove past and went, dropped me off at school. I got home, and my mom was freaking out the entire time because she's like, oh, my God, there was a bear. What if the bear attacked you? And normal parent type stuff.
Did you say, I know what would happen to the bear attack? That's what came home and got Grandpa. We know how this ends.
Yeah, pretty much. And I mean, my grandpa was he worked on the slope doing electrical work for the oil companies and stuff. So he had some pretty interesting interactions with wildlife himself. But that was probably the closest I've ever gotten to anything remotely.
We know grizzly bears. We know black bears and brown bears. What else is in Alaska land-wise that you do not want to mess with? Because it's too cold for snakes.
Right.
You know, it's like, what else is up there? That, like, do they have, like, wolverines?
What about, wolverines or badgers, right?
Yeah, like anything like that?
Yeah, we got wolverines, we got badgers, we have bobcats and lynx. Those things will cut you to ribbons.
Well, lynx aren't that big, but it's still a cat. You know what I mean?
But
a bobcat.
Get a wolverine.
I mean, they're still like an adult bobcat is easily like 50, 60 pounds. So it's the size of a terrier, you know? So imagine a cat the size of the family dog.
Did you ever see a wild cat when you were up there?
One time, yeah, and that was from quite a ways away, and that was closer than I wanted to be.
Yeah,
can a wolverine take down like one of those other animals, even though it's smaller?
Absolutely, easily.
Yeah, they are mean.
All those
they
things.
Had to be. They named a superhero after.
Yeah, I mean, right? Yeah. It seems like
look up a honey badger. Look up. Honey badgers online.
I saw a honey badger. Absolutely, it looked like the Tasmanian devil.
Yeah,
I get on the Eastern Shore. They love rattlesnakes. Rattlesnakes are delicious. So, and I mean, when they go after them, they are relentless. It's just this huge dust ball. They're screaming. The snake is hissing. And I mean, they just grab their asses and then go right back down in the hole. And it's over. I mean, it's over within 30 seconds. You cannot believe the ass whipping that they do not care about anything.
No, it's what they're notorious for.
Yeah. I mean, but once I saw this go down. This guy who I'm with said, look at this video. And it's the famous honey badger video.
Mm-hmm.
I had never seen it. But apparently it was like a big deal 10, 15 years ago. Like, this honey badger kicked. Like, someone did like play-by-play on
it. Right.
Like, he gives no
rap. There was a guy with an effeminate voice that was very funny. It was all over the internet.
Exactly. And I saw that video for the first time after I just saw a honey badger do that thing. I'm like, I never saw that video. I had no idea. But it was exactly like that video.
It doesn't help that you call it a honey badger.
Right.
Right? So as a child, you're thinking, oh, what a cute little thing. By the way, someone
here. A badger in Maryland?
No, in Eastern Washington.
Oh.
You said Eastern Shore, but it's Eastern Washington.
Sorry. Yeah.
I do that all the time. I cannot get, I got to stop that.
Somebody here, a couple comments came in. First guy says, would you guys shut the F up about bears killing people in Yellowstone? I'm going there in 2 weeks with my family. Count how many people go there. Mm-hmm. Tell us how many return.
No, we're not talking about the bear. We're talking about the bison killing people. You're fine on bears.
I mean, yeah, that's the one thing. People keep approaching the bison. Like I told them, I just said, just don't approach them. Unless it's Smokey, because Smokey's chill. You talked about the guy that was killed on the mountain pass by the mountain goat.
Yeah.
Someone here says, I knew the guy that got killed by the mountain goat. He was not messing with the goat. Quite the opposite. You're right. Because when they reported this in the news... So he was killed by the mountain goat, but several people have been attacked or scared off the trail. And everyone pointed out the same thing. Like, we didn't do anything. This goat basically waited for you. Mm-hmm. Like, it could hear you coming, and then it would block your path.
Right. It wouldn't let you pass the trail at that point.
It was like Gandalf.
It wasn't like...
You know what I'm talking about, Mike? You shall not pass!
I think in a picture, it was like all white.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken.
It's a mountain goat.
Yeah. That was... I just didn't think it could kill you.
So it was killed away. It was black and white, like, Yeah,
I know. It's just like I always think about that. Like when even with a snow owl, like you're white, like you can't hide. I guess you're badass because you know
what I mean?
Like,
to hide.
Right, exactly.
He's like, yeah, you see me. What's somebody here? I'm sorry, honey badgers don't give an S. And all I gotta say, screw camel spiders. Right there with you, brother. Yeah.
What did Mother Nature offer up to you that you did not want to deal with? We've got your emails coming up next from the Men's Room at KISW.com.